support the work of the Rehema Home. So that's today when we take the offering in just a little bit. And otherwise, just to give you a few announcements, check it out in your nice colorful bulletin. Be sure to take one of those home. We have our usual meetings, the men's Bible study on Monday. That's at 6. We have progressively later things. Monday's at 6. Tuesday, 6:30 for the ladies, 6:30 to 8 for the women's Bible study. And then we give you a break all the way till 7 o'clock for Wednesday, our 7 to 8:30 typically, prayer meeting. Well, you want a testimony? Want a little plug for prayer meeting, Pastor Dave? Yeah? So I have a testimony to give. It was probably 3 weeks ago that one of the things I wanted prayer because I was being troubled by some double vision. And I thought, wow, that I don't remember that happening before. And I found if you could just tilt your head like this and things would line up. I thought, this isn't really right. And then I read some about it and I thought, well, this could be something. Who knows? I didn't even want to speak what it might be serious. So we had prayer, and over the course of the next couple of weeks, even I went to the eye doctor to ask him about it. I got a great answer from the doctor. He said, well, when you get older, your eye muscles will tend to deteriorate a little bit. There's like six of them that turn your eyes around. And so, well, if it gets, you know, we'll watch it. And if it gets worse, you know, maybe we'll have some different glasses and that kind of thing. But, you know, nothing really like, yes, this is it. But it was also nothing really like, boy, this is really serious. Well, anyway, after just a few more days, like, it's all cleared up. So there's not pairs of you out there. Thank you, Lord. So things like that happen in prayer, and especially, you know, Wednesday night. So I encourage you to come out, small group gathering here in the circle, and there's plenty of room for more. We could take all the chairs, you know. We could make a bigger circle than 6 or 8. So, plug for that. And then otherwise, some other special announcements. There are some fundraisers and meals coming up. That's at Penn York this weekend. There's a notice on the bulletin board, probably the one across from the office, has information about that. Then there's the fundraiser for the Bright Alternatives, the local Crisis Pregnancy Pro-Life Center. There's a little note at the bottom of your bulletin on the front page there. There's a few of those bottles left if you want to take one home and fill it up over the next several weeks, and we'll submit that offering to them. We have a community event happening, and that's coming Friday afternoon. That's for mental health awareness. You got a whole page in your bulletin about that one, so you can read about that. It's hosted by Catholic Charities. It's also on the bulletin board. A quickie update about the water. We got the water all figured out and treated and so on. Our well water is absolutely clean and fine again. It says in the note in your bulletin, it says you may continue to see mineral deposits. You know, it's well water, it's mineral water. So if you want to use the filter attached to the kitchen sink, that might be a good idea too. And today, after church, we're going to have a little time of fellowship. Is that right? Yes. Okay. So stick around and visit and fellowship, especially since we have Irv and Ruth and Joan here. And so just get together and visit. We appreciate that. And so now if we could have a couple of guys come forward and help me with the offering, looking for who wants to volunteer. There's one, Eric. And Carl, you want to come up? Somebody was looking at me anyway. And then I'll meet you in the back. So we'll pray over that and turn it over to Pastor Dave. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your provision, Lord. Father, you are all our sufficiency, and you are the sufficiency for this body. Father, we pray that you would bless each gift and just continue to provide. We just give you the thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to thank the worship team for leading us this morning. Thank you, you guys. It's a blessing to have musicians other than me in the church. It's lovely and wonderful. So appreciate you. Thank you all for the time that you give. As Brother Ed mentioned, we, at least in the news, we've heard about some of the tragedy that happened in Buffalo. And interestingly enough, our brother Carl Dandridge actually knew one of the people that was shot and killed in that incident. So we want to pray that God will intervene in behalf of all those families. I guess there were 10 people that passed away, and 3 people still wounded. And we say, God, help those people and give your grace. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort and mercy. And Father, we pray that your hand would be extended to the families of these people who suffered at the hands of this violence, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would help every person up there who's lost a loved one. And Father, for the people who wonder what would happen next, who live up there, and the unsettledness and the fear, God, we pray that you would come. God, that your hand of comfort would come, especially upon those families. And God, that you would send Christians to those families that could bring comfort and grace and truth in the face of tragedy, Lord. That what the devil meant for evil, that God, that you would help them, that you would bring something of redemption and hope out of that, Lord, and that you would touch and help those families. We pray for the 3 who were injured, God, that you would touch them, help them to recover. And Father, we just thank you that even in the worst of times, you are good and you want to help and you want to give your grace and pour out your blessing. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We trust you. You are a good God. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Friday evening, I got a text, and it was from Brother Tom. And he said, guess what? Somebody's in town. Can you guess who? And you said that Irv and Ruth Schwant were able to come, and I was delighted, and I was extra delighted when he said Irv would like to bring the message. I said, great, that's awesome. So we are super excited to have them here this morning, and we're super excited to get to see Sister Joan this morning too. Hi, and gets to reconnect with her friends. So, yeah, amen. So, Brother Irv, come on up, and Sister Ruth, if you wanted to share a greeting, or if not, whatever you want to do is fine. And I have to come and light the microphone fire on our brother Irv here. Uh-oh, you got to. I'm gonna do it. Woo! Yeah. these lovely things have a wonderful way. Yes. Yeah. I'll leave your kidneys. There you go. You should be on, my brother.
Oh, you squeezed it. I got to go.
It never ends, does it?
Never ends. Oh, my wife told me not to, but I got to. When my brother was talking about double vision, if I ever said that to my doctor, he already calls me weird. If I ever said, Doc, I've got double vision, he would probably say, don't worry about it. That happens to everyone who has a dual personality. Let me ask my wife to come. My young wife, in July she turns 28. I'm 26. 26 more years before I turn 100.
Sorry.
She's coming up and saying, shut up,
I get to turn both of you on. He's got to say nice things because he's not doing what I'd asked him to do. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. It's an unexpected pleasure. This time last week we were sitting in New York Airport trying to get a connecting flight to Rochester, so it seems like my brain hasn't landed yet. But it is a joy to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from everybody at Rehema Home. When we left Nairobi, there were about 10 of our, what we call external residents. That means kids that have already moved out and are living by themselves. Some of them still supported by us, some of them working, but they'd all come to say goodbye. And we appreciated that. Presently in the Nairobi home, we have, I think it's 65 kids. 66. Yes. Our co-worker wrote to me on Friday evening and she said, guess what? You're a mother again. And they had just admitted a 2 to 3 week old baby boy that had been found abandoned. He's in good health, apparently, and they have called him. I gave them the opportunity to name him Michael. So Michael joined the Rehema family on Friday, and we haven't met him yet, but I'm sure he's being well taken care of. Last year, we admitted more kids than we have ever done in a year. We're not quite sure whether that is COVID-related, and mothers just can't take care of them. A lot of them were around the age of 18 months, which leads me to believe maybe the mothers suddenly realize they can't breastfeed them anymore, they need food, and they have no finances to buy food. And so the easiest thing is for them just to abandon them. On the week before Christmas, we admitted 3 siblings, 4, 3, and 2 years old approximately. They'd be just been left in the emergency room of the children's hospital, which is 20 minutes from us. And I know the social worker quite well. And she called me and said, do you have room for 3 kids? And I said, not really. She said, but what am I going to do? I said, okay. So Patricia, John, and Haran joined our family. The mother, I've seen the mother on the CCTV camera. She walks in with these 3 children. They sit down in the emergency room, don't register. They sit down. After a while, you see her get up, and she just sort of wanders. And then the next, she's headed out. And it wasn't until about an hour or so later that the guards in casualty realized, hey, there's nobody with these kids. It was a busy night. There was kids everywhere. There was parents everywhere. And it wasn't until things settled down a little bit that they realized nobody was with these kids. So Patricia, John, and Haran joined our family in late December. So we continue to grow. Kids move out, kids move in. I don't know how many times in the last few months have I moved beds around and added cribs here and beds here and taken this bed out and moved this kid. And it's sometimes like a puzzle. Where do I put another bed? Who do I move out into the next room? But God is faithful. And we're doing what God called us to do. And that's the only thing that we can do. As I was thinking about this morning, if I can find it, I confessed this morning that I'd forgotten my Bible in Nairobi. And, because there's always a phone, isn't there? But all my notes were in my Bible. And Brother Tom said, but it's in your heart. I said, yeah, but my brain and my heart aren't working together right now. But the Lord had given me this scripture, and it did come to me. And it's in Isaiah chapter 12, starting at verse 2. It's a short chapter. You know, in this day and age, every time you look at the news, there's something bad happening. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, or what you're doing, what city you're in, there's always something that is not right. This last few months, we have been praying a lot for Ukraine, because the lady who runs our upcountry home, runs Bakura home, she had gone home. She's Ukrainian. She had gone home for Christmas, was due back the night that the Russians invaded Ukraine, and got stuck in Ukraine. Now her and her mother and father are refugees in Poland, trying to come to Kenya, but her mother's passport had expired. Well, you try renewing a passport in the middle of a war. It's not an easy thing to do. So they're basically stuck in Poland because of her mother's passport. And that is a matter of prayer, that she would get her passport renewed, they would be able to travel, and Natasha would bring her parents with her to Kenya. But you know, there's always something. But the scripture gives hope. There's always hope when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's easy to look at the world around us and say, this is going on, that's going on. Even at Rahama, this kid's misbehaving, this kid's doing this. But we need to keep our hearts and our eyes focused on the Lord. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. How easy it is when we're with other people, oh, this problem and that problem and this has happened and that's happened. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? But we forget, I'm as guilty as anybody else, that God is in control. Whether it's baby Michael that got abandoned and then and has come to Rahama, whether it's what's happening in Buffalo, which is a big tragedy, whether it's what's happening in Ukraine or anywhere else in the world or in our community, we need to remember God is in control and put our trust in him. Keep our eyes focused on him. We used to sing an old hymn a long time ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I would encourage you this morning to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. We appreciate every single thing you do for Rahama. We appreciate your prayers. It's his work, his ministry, and it's our goal to keep our eyes focused on him.
My wife and I returned to Kenya on the 10th of June. We are only here for a short time, basically because our first grandson graduates from high school. So we wanted to see that. And also, our Kenyan son, who is attending Elam, he was given a one-year full scholarship to do a certificate course. He finished the course and got his certificate on Friday, and we didn't know it was going to be then, but we were able to attend. And the Lord is a miracle working God. No, never forget that. He's a miracle working God. Why? This young man, Alex, had been praying that somehow God would open the door so he could do a degree course. He knew we couldn't afford it. And before he finished his one-year certificate course, someone came to him and said, I'd like to take your school fees for the next 3 years so that you can get your degree. So he'll be going back to Kenya with us on the 10th, staying for about 3 weeks, then coming back to the States to start his second year in Bible college. We're so thrilled with that. Now, my wife and I have devotions with the children. She takes the younger ones, and I take the older ones. And I try to stimulate their thought process. I don't want them just to read the Bible, read the scriptures, and not really think about it. So I try to present questions to them. Well, what do you think about this? Why does this happen? What's going on here? So I ask questions. And during this process, there was a question that came up. And I hadn't thought about it, so I kind of gave a set answer that I wasn't really too happy about. The question was, when did God start loving us? When did he start loving us? Well, my pat answer is, well, when you look at Adam, God loved him from the beginnings of the world. Okay? But I wasn't satisfied with that answer. I knew it wasn't the full answer. So I began to look at the Word of God, and I'm going to present to you tonight some of my thoughts, some of my study. And like Ruth, we're in such a hurry to get things together, I left my notes in Nairobi. So I had to put them all together again and expand it. So let me share with you. To really answer this question, we have to go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, or we could say his lungs. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's where it began. Now, we don't often think about what we read. We just read the scriptures, right? We just read it, we read the stories, but it's not until you really think about it and start digging that you find what's really going on here. So let's start at the near the beginning of this verse. And the Lord God formed man. Look at that. Look at the word formed. This indicates that God spent some special time with Adam, forming, shaping, carefully loving his work in creating Adam, shaping Adam. Now, I suppose we could say that this is nothing more than what Michelangelo did when he created David in his sculpture. Okay? But God takes it further. See, man, before I get into that, man was formed from the dust of the earth. Isn't that what it says? Created from the dust of the earth. Okay. Scientists say everything that's alive is all from the same family. Well, no. But we're all created from the same dust. Ooh, okay. We're created from the dust of the ground. God used the same material that he used to create the earth and everything in the earth. He used the same material. But man was a special creation. You laughing at me? You laughing at me? Some people do. Adam was a special creation, created, the Bible says, in the image of God. Where else in the Bible does God say, or the Bible say, that animals, plants, anything else was created in God's image? Does it ever say that? No, that makes us special because we are in God's image. Now that opens up a whole new door of what does it mean to be the image of God. All right, we are a special creation. God made us different from the earth. God made us different from plants. God made us different from the animals. But when God formed, shaped us, created us lovingly, he made Adam. But there was one thing lacking. Just like Michelangelo's statue of David, one thing was lacking. Adam wasn't alive. So God did something special. Can you imagine this? Michelangelo shaping the statue, going up to it and breathing into the mouth of his statue, David. If he did, what would happen? Nothing. But here with God, it says in this chapter, God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into Adam's nostrils. Well, the scriptures are quite simple. We don't get into the anatomy of God's creating of man. You know, there is lungs, and it's not the nostrils that breathe, it's the lungs that breathe, okay? So just using a simple term, something you can see, God breathed into his nostrils, okay? Simplified it. What actually happened was, God breathed into Adam's lungs. Now, those of you who have a medical background, you know that when somebody stops breathing, what do? You breathe for them, right? You breathe for them. We have a term for this. We call it the, anyone know? I'm the only one that knows. Because my wife does it to me so many times. The kiss of life. Sorry, Ruth. Did I embarrass you? Every time she kissed me, I'm alive. Okay, God gave Adam the kiss of life. Now, picture this. God kissed Adam. Isn't that an expression of love? Gave him the kiss of life. So we could say God loved Adam then and there. But that wouldn't be true. Because there's something else going on here. Let's remember, this is a special event. God gave him a kiss of life. And the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Now here's a question. Is the beginning of God's love for us when God breathed into Adam? Now that's a tougher question, okay? But, you see, when we read the scriptures, we segment it. Read this section, we read another section, we read another section. I've taught hermeneutics in Bible college. And I tell the students, okay, we can read a section, but we need to know how it fits together with the rest of Scripture. Okay, when did God start loving us? Yes, he breathed into us, but that's not the beginning. Another Scripture says, very plainly, 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is love. What does that mean? That word, love, is indicative of who God is. It's part of God. It's a nature of God. It's God. God is love. So what happened when God breathed into Adam? So here we have Adam, like a statue. God goes up and he goes, what happened? There's a transfer of who God is into who Adam is to be. Can you picture that? So we have the eternal God, right? Now what happens? The breath of life comes into Adam. He is to have eternal life. Okay? The breath of God comes into Adam. He is to have eternal love. Eternal love. So when did God love him? God has always loved him because God is eternally love. And he shared that with Adam. So here is eternal love being given to Adam. So God breathed eternity into Adam. So let me take this a step further. God gave Adam a gift that he never had before. A gift of life. Eternal life. God gave Adam a gift of love. Eternal love. God gave Adam a gift of a soul. Eternal soul. God gave Adam a gift of a spirit, an eternal spirit. These were gifts. And they're all part of God. God's giving of himself. So that's why we can say he created us in his image. We were created for eternity. Got that? Now, this is more of a complex answer than saying, oh, God loved us from the beginning of the world, foundations of the world. No, it's more than that. It's something more glorious. God said, we will make him in our image. Genesis 1:26. God says, he created man in his own image. Genesis 1:27. That's part of God's image. The breath entered man and gave man what he did not have before. He now has God in him. Science says man evolved.
No.
Science says there is no life after death.
No.
These events in Genesis show us something very different. This one single event began an incomprehensible series of events to take place. Okay? The eternal God gave us an eternal soul. We didn't evolve. Man became a living soul, the scripture says. A living soul. We have eternal life. There is life after death. God gave us eternal gifts. He gave us eternal love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. God is eternal peace. He shared that with Adam. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both heard and seen of me, this is Paul speaking, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Remember, God breathed this into Adam. That was part of his gifting. Hebrews 13:20-21. The God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will. That was a gift. Another gift. Ecclesiastes 2:26. God gives to a man that is good, the man who is good. God gives to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, joy. Those are God's gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace. It's part of God's Spirit. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. We sing this sometimes. Remember singing it? But righteousness, peace, and joy. He gives us the gift of holiness. Ephesians 1:4. He has chosen us from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him. A number of times the Bible says, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. It's God's nature. God breathed that into Adam to become part of his nature. Now, we all know this verse. I won't even give you the where it's found. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Now listen to the next part. But have eternal life. Eternal life. That is a gift God gave in that single breath. All of these. God did not give gifts to his other creation. The animals didn't get gifts. They got grass. The fish didn't get gifts, they got water. But we got the gifts of God, the image of God. Why? We're special. God formed us, took time, lovingly shaped us to hold his glory, his eternal gifts. What God breathed into Adam is eternal. It cannot be taken away. For the Romans says, verse 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Why can't these be taken away? Well, for one thing, God breathed himself into Adam. To take it away would be to take himself away. You ever think about that? To take those gifts away would be to take himself away. And God says, I don't take things that I have given. God does not remove his gifts from us. His gifts are eternal. They are part of the eternal God. God has given himself to us. And we are created in his image. To take them away is to take himself away. But we can refuse his gifts. Okay? We can refuse them. So what happened to Adam when he sinned? He lost his relationship with God. He turned his back on God. Okay? He lost his eternal physical body, but not his eternal soul. The Bible says, the soul that sins shall die, an eternal death in hell. Death was not a gift to Adam from God. You understand that? Death was not a gift to Adam from God. Death was a gift from Satan. Okay? We could say, if I can play on words, Satan took Adam's breath away. Would that be fair to say that? The breath that was eternal gifts. Satan took that away, took his breath away, that which made him live. Now he's going to die. Very wise man once told me, the secret of long life is keep breathing. Okay. Adam lost his peace with God. He began fighting and rebelling against God. He lost his holiness. He lost his joy. He lost his righteousness because he turned his back on God. He lost it. He gave it up. God didn't take it away. Adam lost it because he took his back, turned his back to God. See, Adam's rebellion is echoed today, and if I may use this term, and I don't want to take it any further than this, I'm just using the term, okay? Adam's rebellion is echoed in today's words that we hear all the time. My body, my choice. Really? I choose to drink. I choose drugs. My body, my choice. And that is exactly what Adam did in his rebellion. Now God said to Adam, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In other words, he lost his blessings and all of earth suffered. Then it goes on. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. He lost his joy, now he's got sorrow. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you. Disappointment, frustration, that was part of the curse. And you shall eat the herb of the field. We could no doubt say his life became bitter. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. What does sweat of your face indicate? Hard labor. Right? Until you return unto the ground. That is death. For out of it were you taken. For dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. But I don't want to leave it here. There's more to it, and I'm running out of time. There's more to it. The story goes on. Jesus came to take our sins away. Hallelujah for that. And also to bring us back to the Father by dying on the cross and bearing our sins. He paid our debt for sin. He rose again to bring us new life. Okay? But not just a new life. A newness to eternal life that we had given up. Now, it's available to us again. A new eternal life with God. So now we have a restoration with our relationship with God. Now, remember, he was the one that we offended through disobedience, rebellion. We turned our backs on him and his eternal gifts. Jesus came to bring us new eternal life. After Jesus rose from the dead, he left the earth, but he did something strange, and I've always wondered about this. He did something strange, and I could never explain it. until I began to see it fit together. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be to you." Now, if it was in Hebrew he said it, it would be Shalom Aleichem, which means peace to you. Peace is always given in a direction. Peace to you. Peace be to you. This is God's eternal peace, okay? As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. This is John 20, 21 and 22. Now this is the strange part. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost." The breath of God breathed into Adam is now seen. Jesus breathing out on his disciples, restoring that eternal life to us that was taken away when Satan took Adam's breath away. The eternal breath of God that Adam gave up in the garden is now restored to those who receive God's Son. We now have a second chance. Second chance at eternal life, eternal peace, eternal joy and holiness. All that Adam lost is now restored because of what Jesus did for us. Now it also says in Ephesians 4:8, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's another one I couldn't understand. Yeah, I used to say the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. But it's more than that. He restored the gifts of eternal life, eternal love, eternal peace. He restored the image of God in us. Jesus' death and resurrection not only resulted in our salvation, but Jesus restored all the gifts that God gave us when he breathed into Adam. But there's still more. You thought I was done. Where is Jesus sending us? Mark 16:15. Why do I have that question? Because in John 21, verse 20, 21, it says, even so, I'm sending you. Okay, where is he sending us? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's where he's sending us. We are to share the message of eternal life, a second chance, with others in the world. We do not save people. That work was done by Jesus on the cross. But we share the eternal message of salvation. Another question. What purpose is he sending us? What purpose is he sending us? John 20:21. As my Father has sent me, and he said, I am sending you. So there has to be a link between the two, right? As my Father has sent me, I am sending you. Whoever hears the gospel from us, we are to pray with. We are to pray with them to ask Jesus to forgive their sins and give them again the breath of God. Let me add the other phrase. Bring to them the kiss of God. Because through Jesus, we who were rebellious and enemies of God now are friends of God. We can come face to face. We're not the Savior. We are the message. Jesus saves. He forgives. He grants us eternal life. We just share the message of the way back to eternal life, back to the eternal God. Let me leave this phrase with you that Jesus said, "So send I you." Be God's messenger and share the breath of God.
Amen. Are you glad that God loves you? Are you glad for the Holy Spirit that He breathes upon us? Very, very thankful. Thank you, our brother. And we have that opportunity to share and bring that life to other people. Glory to God. We are going to be having some fellowship time afterward. We invite you to stay and visit. But if you're here today and you have a need for prayer, we want to invite you to come as a Full Gospel Church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and healing and the ability of God to move and touch you and meet every need. So if you have a need today, someone will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, please stay and enjoy a time of fellowship with us. Father, we thank you today. We thank you first that you love us, Father. Thank you for the Spirit of God that quickens our mortal body. It makes us alive, Father. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the... Hello. Wow, I'm there. Wow, all of a sudden it came alive. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for life in your Spirit. We pray that you would bless us as we go our way and help us to walk in your life and to bring that to other people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you'd like prayer, feel free to come forward. Mm-hmm.